There are some things about yourself that you likely, you don't know why you behave the way you do. You don't know why you can't get a breakthrough. Maybe there's just some real issues, or maybe just some thought processes you can't get through. But Jesus does know, and part of this process, we'll be asking Him to show you what needs to be revealed. We will be asking Him to heal you and set you free. Luke 4:18 assures us that He came for the very purpose of doing so. Now, this course is designed to take you through the freedom process and make sure that all of the root is removed. To make it as easy as possible, we will get to the root through 6 spiritual exercises. Now, not all may apply to you, but for the sake of being thorough, why not go through all of them? So let's get started. Now, the first step is confessing sin and repenting. And to do that, I want to talk to you about the difference between sin, transgression, and iniquity. Here's a verse that mentions all three. In Psalm 32:5, it says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Now, there's just a slight difference in those three, but I want to talk to you because all of them get covered under the blood. Now, sin means to miss the mark. It's a general term for anything that falls short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Sin leads to trespassing, and trespassing, it can mean to fall away after being close beside. A trespasser is someone who crosses a line they should not cross. It may be intentional or unintentional. Peter trespassed when he denied Jesus. That's Luke 22:34, 56 through 62. When we don't forgive others, we cross a line. Matthew 6:15. The second is transgression, and transgression is intentional disobedience. It is willful trespassing. When we knowingly tell a lie or rebel against authority, we are trespassing. You may have sinned and missed the mark when you neglected to give to the poor, but if the Lord spoke to you and said, "Give to this certain poor person," and you refused, you have fallen into transgression. And then there is iniquity. And iniquity refers to premeditated choice to commit sin, to continue sin without repentance. Now, the result of iniquity can be felt through a person's children. This is why I wanted to talk to you about the difference. Now, here's an analogy. It's kind of simple, but I didn't want to target any specific sin, really. Let's say you tell your daughter to wash the dishes. She gets a little bit of it done, and then she sees kids playing outside, and little by little, she goes out and she begins playing, and she never finishes the dishes. Yes, she was disobedient, but she fell short of your expectations. This would be an analogy of sin. It's falling short. Now, if you told your daughter to wash the dishes and walked out of the room, and she looked at the dishes, and then she looked at the kids playing outside, and then she thought, not today, I am not doing those dishes. And she walks out the door and plays. That's transgression. She purposely disobeyed. But let's say that before supper, your daughter knows that there's going to be kids playing outside, and she suspects that you are going to tell her to wash the dishes. And in her heart, she decides then and there, she will just take the punishment. She's going to act like she is going to do the dishes, but when you turn your back, she is headed out to the door to play. She never intended to be obedient. And that's the difference. A man who premeditates sin will sow a seed into his DNA that can be felt for generations. Now, some people disagree that this is relevant for today, but it's not hard to see this curse in action. Look at a man who premeditates sin and refuses to repent. You will see his children following into his footsteps, and they will suffer for his choices. That doesn't mean that they stand before God and whatever, if their grandfather committed adultery, that they have to stand before the Lord and account for that sin. But what it means is that it impacts his generations, and he may have released a spirit of perversion or unfaithfulness that attacks his lineage. Now, look at the lines of abuse, addictions, early death, etc. We all know families who have the same ailments and issues in their bloodline. Now, look at Exodus 34:6-7. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means cleansing the guilty, visiting, listen to this, the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now, whether you have sinned without realizing what you are doing, what it is that it's sin, listen, I know people that commit fornication and have never been trained or taught that it's a sin. So if you sin without realizing it, or if you have a premeditated sin, a simple confession of wrongdoing and acceptance of forgiveness by Jesus will absolve you from the weight of that sin. Jesus is your escape. The first thing I recommend doing to get this covered is asking the Lord to convict you of any sin that you need to confess. Ask Him, and when the sin comes to mind, confess it as sin and ask the Lord to forgive you and wash the sin away. Now, He may do this right now all at once, or you may just be reading a scripture and go, oh man, that's sin, I didn't know it. When you realize something is sin, you just simply say, Lord, I ask forgiveness of that. I'm going to turn away from it. Wash that away. It's a supernatural trade or exchange that takes place. You give Him the sin and He gives you eternal life. You don't have to be a genius to know this is an excellent and profitable trade. Here are some scriptures to confess and digest when the voice inside you begins to accuse you and tell you that you cannot be forgiven or that you do not even have to repent. Now, 1 John 1:9. Reads, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you just want to confess it's a sin. Don't be prideful. Hey, if you committed a sin, call it what it is. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. See, that's what repentance is, confessing and forsaking. Hallelujah. There, for some reason, there's a lot of healing that even comes in just confessing. Psalms 32:5 reads, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Romans 10:9-10. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I pray right now that if you have any sin, transgression, or iniquity in your life, that the Lord would reveal it to you and convict your heart and give you the faith and hope to trust in Him to cover that sin in the name of Jesus. Now, here's a sample prayer. There are four things that this prayer does. First, if you are not a believer or you cannot remember when you gave your heart to the Lord, when you began to follow Him, when you pray this and believe it in your heart, God will transform you into a new creature. After this, all you need to do is find another believer and just let them know that you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and you're turning from your sin. Secondly, if you are already a believer, this is going to be some foundation work that if you have gotten into sin, this is a pronouncement that you're going to turn away from it and follow the Lord. Thirdly, if there are any generational curses from the iniquity curse we spoke about, I'm going to include in this prayer a prayer to cancel and cut those off. Also, sometimes when we are joined to people, there is a bond or a soul tie that needs to be released. For example, when you have sexual intimacy outside of marriage, a bond is formed to become one, and you may be married to someone else and have that bond. So we're going to cut off any unrighteous ties and set you free from those as well. That may also include any kind of ungodly commitments you have made. Pray with me, or pray after I do, after you agree with everything, and this is going to finish step one of your freedom. Father, I accept that Jesus died for my sins, transgressions, and iniquities. I believe He rose again and wants me to come to Him. I repent for the sin in my life. Now, right here, if the Lord leads you to specifically name any sin or transgression, you're going to do that right here. Anything He's been convicting you of, you're going to say, I repent for this sin. I am sorry and I want to follow Jesus, and I ask you to help me sin no more. I also renounce the iniquities of my forefathers. I will have no part with disobedience and rebellion. Lord, I ask you to cut off every generational curse and free me from the consequences of iniquities of those before me. I ask you to sever every soul tie that was formed through ungodly commitments, sexual sin, or unholy covenants. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform my life as only you know how to do. I receive forgiveness today. Help me to forgive others as you have freely forgiven me, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now you can just begin thanking the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that just took away my sin, that just broke those curses off of me. Use the faith that God gave you to believe what you prayed and trust in Him. Now, if you haven't been baptized, you will want to follow the word's instructions and be baptized in water as soon as possible. This signifies publicly your death to the flesh and the rising up of victory in Christ. If you haven't known the Lord before, welcome to the family.